Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Okay, well, in the last several minutes, we have this news of the Bills claiming veteran cornerback Darius Slay off waivers from Pittsburgh. He was released by the Steelers yesterday and claimed by the Bills today. Sal has a tweet on it, and he's going to go right to the roster. And, I mean, it kind of doesn't take much analysis to sort of assume here that it wasn't going well in Pittsburgh. It's not like the Steelers are out of it. I mean, they're on the hook for money, and they're right. Still waiving an accomplished player who's coming up on 35 years old. Sal with us now on the West Her Hotline. Any better read on this than this is the Bills? Once again, they've done plenty of this at receiver for one position, kind of why not? Experience, depth, et cetera.
Yeah, no, that's all I can get on this one, guys. I think this is surprising to me. I did not see this one coming. Brandon Cooks being out there, you're not surprised, right? You could see, okay, maybe the Bills would want to do something like that. This was not an area where I felt that they wanted to or needed to go out and fortify a little bit, but obviously they feel differently. So what's the reasoning for that? Good question. Max Harrison's been playing well when he's been in the game, but he only played 13 snaps last week. Sean McDermott said that's kind of how the game went and flowed. I think Tre'Davious White, part of the reason for that is I think White's been playing well, and he did play well last week. Obviously Christian Benford, he's having a really good year now and was just named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jamarcus Ingram is on the 53-man roster. He provides more special teams help. I mean, I don't see Darius Slay as a special teams guy at this point in his career.
Right.
And then you have Taron Johnson and Cam Lewis, obviously. So what I would say is, to me, this reads more like you said, depth to have options. Because if your pass rush is going to be compromised, the best way to try to atone for that or help make up for that would be as good as you can be on the back end. You might want to fortify your depth there. I think that's what I have for you right now.
Right. Well, will there be, I would imagine there's got to be a corresponding move of some kind, right?
Yep.
So
yes.
I wonder who that will be. Like it, Ingram has that special teams piece, and maybe, he and Lewis really from the guys in the secondary, Hancock too, sure. I wonder who's vulnerable there.
Could somebody go to IR?
Yes.
That could be a move, right?
Right, but it doesn't have to be somebody from that position, obviously,
no.
Right?
Right, right.
It could be Joshua Palmer, who is, once again, dealing with an injury that Sean McDermott said his body just can't get to where it needs to be at this point, right? If you just want to go down that road. Could it be one of the offensive linemen? They actually have now 10 offensive linemen. We count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've been carrying 9 all year, but because they activated Tylon Grable, they now have 10. Is there someone there? I don't know who would be a candidate necessarily. I would say, though, they are a little thick right now at defensive tackle, believe it or not. They have 6 on the roster, and that includes Fedarian Mathis and Jordan Phillips, along with Daquan Jones, Deion Walker, Larry Ogunjobi, and TJ Sanders. That would be an area that I would look and say, maybe that's a spot where you are going to look at.
Okay, well, we'll see what comes. Maybe it'll be probably soon, right, Sal? I mean, if they've added this player, they
get
need to
a
make
day. They get a day, yeah. So by tomorrow, I think you get a one-day grace period to be able to do that.
Okay. Hey, by the way, and, if you can keep this short, that's probably good.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking 2 hours ago about Deshaun Watson having had his practice window opened by the Browns, and that completely like stunned me. I didn't know that when Bulldog told me about it, and I was trying to do the math, or not the math, but like the logic on when that happens in terms of like when the physical happens. I think it should probably be that you pass the physical before this, you know, so-called window opens. Would that be right?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're not going to put him on, they're not going to open his window and use one of their IR to return unless he's ready to practice. And you can't practice unless they're physically able to practice.
Okay, good.
So that's not going to happen. So he's practicing now with the team. I mean, that's what he's doing. So they wouldn't do that if he wasn't correct and right to be able to do that. So now, because it's December 3rd, that goes 21 days. That gets you to December 24th. So technically, he could be activated to the active roster after the Bills play the Browns on December 21st.
Or also before.
And if he is, and I think you guys touched on this when I was driving back from the stadium, I was listening, they could also put him on the active roster but not play him. Right? He doesn't have to actually be on the field as the starting quarterback or even the backup. He could be the number three guy or whatever. But he needs to be on the 53-man roster by December 24th, or else he goes back to IR for the rest of the year.
Okay. And a team would not have, like a, if you will, legal obligation to activate a player in this way just because he's healthy, right? Somebody could be healthy and ready, but the team doesn't have plans for them, so they would just leave him over there in the IR. Like that. This isn't something that has to happen.
That is correct. So last year, 2 years ago maybe it was, the Bills did this with, it wasn't Isaiah Hodgins, actually. Now I'm thinking of who it was. It was a receiver they had on the roster. I can't, maybe it was Isaiah Hodgins. Anyway, towards the end of the year, they put him on the IR to return, but he never came back. Just practiced for 3 weeks, and then they put him back on IR. That's okay. I think they just wanted to get him some reps and practice it. And see what he looked like. And my apologies, it might not have been Hodgins. It was last year, it was somebody. But either way, that happened. Now, I will say this, Mike, okay? If a player is healthy enough to play and a team goes through this process that we're talking about and puts them on IR, the agent could file a grievance with the team and say, you need to release him then to give an injury settlement. So you could go down that road. That would be up to the agent and the player, depending on how they want to do that and how the money is handled. But he has guaranteed money and all that. So I don't know if you would do that in this situation anyway.
Okay, good. Thank you for clearing some of that up. The Bills injury list today, Dalton Kincaid is limited, but now has a knee added to his status here. I want to know what you think this adds up to, if you can know. And then also hear you talk about like his importance going forward. We've sort of had this vibe that they need Kincaid, as he was, you know, coming on before he got hurt in Miami. And they did lose the game in between, but they've had a couple of easy wins here, running the ball great. I don't know how much you might think they'd intend to lean on Kincaid when he is ready.
So let me just make sure everybody understands that today the media was not allowed to watch any practice like we normally would be able to, because they held a walkthrough. When they have a walkthrough, there's no media that's allowed to watch. My suspicion is they're going to do walkthroughs every Wednesday now. They usually have done that the last few years. Every Wednesday leading into a Sunday game in December. It's just because it's late in the year and you're backing off on players' bodies and trying to get everybody, you know, keep everybody as fresh as possible. The reason I say that is because I didn't see Dalton Kincaid do anything in practice. He's listed as limited. And you have to also remember that when it's a walkthrough, it's an estimation of what they would have done if they were having a full practice.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. He had had the hamstring, which is why he's missed three games. And now he's got the knee injury also listed. Remember, Dalton Kincaid has had knee issues going back to last year when he had the knee injury, and then this year even to start the year. So I don't know exactly, you know, what the severity is, but it could very well be before he gets back on the field, they want to make sure everything's good in all ways. So let's just, you know, make sure with the knee, make sure with the hamstring. Okay, we're going to work on the knee a little bit. Also could mean that something's bothering him in his knee, and that's probably likely the case considering he's on the injury report with that, but it doesn't have to be anything major, but it also probably isn't something to just kind of wash away, and it is something to monitor. That being said, he is limited today, and that's a good sign for a Wednesday leading into a Sunday game, and we'll see where it goes. Now, as far as the game this week against Cincinnati Bengals, did you guys have Did you get Justin? Oh, thank you. My buddy Mike just texted me. You might have heard that. Justin Shorter was the guy they did that with.
I was
going to
say
thank
Justin
you.
Shorter, but I didn't want to just throw darts.
I was also going to say Justin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Shout out to my buddy Mike who texted
me. All right, Mike.
That.
Way to go.
I was thinking Shavers. But they have the same letters.
Yeah, it was Justin Shorter. They actually brought him back. I had a return, and then he never actually played. He was only on there for 3 weeks.
It's tough when they're all six-letter first names, seven-letter last names. Thank
oh,
you.
There
all
you right, are with the numbers of letters again. Did you guys have Joe Goodberry on yet?
Yeah, we did. 4 o'clock. Today.
Did he mention about the tight ends against the Bengals? Did he go through?
No,
this
we
all?
Did not get into that.
Okay. Glad he didn't, because he was on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and I as well, and me, and you can go listen to that. And he said something astonishing to me. Like, he said they went through and – or he went through the numbers, and the Cincinnati Bengals are giving up – I want to get this number right – about 250 more yards against tight end compared to the second-worst team in the league this year. That's how many more yards – like, you take all the games combined – the number of yards tight ends have gained against each team. The Bengals have the most yards gained by a tight end against them by 250 to the next team. That's it's incredible. So, I think Dalton Kincaid would be a really, really big, massive boost for them this weekend.
Bulldog knows one game where that was true, that Steeler night game.
Yes.
He won all the money on Darnell Washington
sirree,
and Freiermuth.
Yep.
Colston Loveland lit him up late in that Bears game. We've talked about this before, and I think a lot of that is who you play. But they haven't played the Raiders or the Cardinals. They will play the Cardinals, but those are your, McBride is maybe threatening records. So, all right, well, what do I do with that? Is it Latu season if Kincaid can't play?
Right.
What do I want to do
he's
with
He's out
this?
Of elevations.
Oh, he's out?
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, they brought him up three times. So the only way that guy plays from now on is if they sign him to the 53-man roster.
And you don't see that.
And that's another roster move you'd have to make. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep shuffling like that. Well, I'm very discouraged to hear that there's another designation there, like the hamstring / knee with Kincaid, because, the summer started with the second day or third day of practice. You're like, oh, Kincaid, soreness. Like, oh, no. We're picking up right where we left off last year, where he just isn't going to get his legs right. And then, and there's been in and out. But, man, when he's on the field, he's been so effective for them. And I do think moving forward, I don't know necessarily this Sunday. Every game here matters. If you're still thinking about the single-digit percentage chance you have of tracking New England down or just securing the best wild card spot you have, you want to win as many of these games as you can. But you also, I think, want to make sure – I'm thinking about Bosa for this too. I did not mind at all hearing that he's week-to-week, as long as it's not a month, because we joked around in the summer, bubble wrap this guy till January. Well, we made it to December, and he played them all, right? Has he missed any games? He's had the arm, the wrist problem, but he's played through that largely. I think it hampered him, but he still got through it. I'm at a point now where it's like, okay, just put him on ice for a couple of weeks. I'd like to have my best, best team on the field, especially next week in New England, but I need Bosa for January, and so don't push through the hamstring injury.
I don't disagree with you, and I think that they have shown that this year they're playing more of the long game on these things. I think Kincaid's a perfect example. He's missed three games with a hamstring injury, and he actually practiced a little bit last week. How about Joshua Palmer, who practiced a little bit and didn't come back? How about Taron Johnson, who practiced a little bit and didn't come back a few weeks before that? Mm-hmm. The Bills have shown that they're going to try to keep everybody as healthy as possible as they get towards a stretch run. The only upsetting part about that is they've lost ground. And I'm not saying it's because of that, but if you would have had a full complement of players, you never know if a game goes your way in Houston or a game goes your way in Atlanta that they don't wind up getting. And now they're in this situation where they're obviously behind the Patriots, and it doesn't look like they're going to catch the Patriots. So, at the end of the day, you want to be as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. I wish we all knew what would happen over the next 2 weeks between the Patriots and Bills and Bengals and Patriots. And if the Bills win this game and then beat the Patriots, and I know Mike made the point earlier, he's right, the Patriots still have to lose a division game on top of it. But if you're still chasing and you're still there, I think that becomes a bit of a different, kind of tone of how you want to present yourself the last couple of games heading into the playoffs. Because if you're not going to be the number one seed, as you guys know, You got to play three games in a row to get to the Super Bowl, and it might more might likely mean three games on the road, but that's different than having that week off. So if you get to week 18 and you know your scenario and you can back off on players, then you know you do it.
Yep.
And if you even know before that, you might do it even before that.
Yes, it's ironic, I think, compared with last year, you were chasing for the one, and there was like no time to rest. I mean, you had to until week 18. You had to just go all out for that. And then we came out of the season going, it's even more obvious how important it is to get that bye because, I mean, we saw the Bills kind of break down a little bit. They still did win two playoff games. Here, what's ironic is, like, you might not have a realistic shot at that, but your playoff odds are so good that you can go, perhaps it'll come to the point where you can go a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think this is mostly just something to talk about than something that actually is within a team because they're not going to rest healthy starters. Like, they never do that until the last game,
right?
Especially if they haven't clinched. And, you know, there's a path where they wouldn't make it, so we're not going to take Cincinnati lightly in this way or anything. But last year, you were sort of trapped in this race that ended up being unwinnable with Kansas City, and it was costly. And here, you could look at it kind of the opposite way.
Yeah, totally understand. I just think this is such a weird year, like where you look at the standings and you see where you are and know that, okay, it's not just the Bills that like, they're not going to maybe win the division and get the one seed, but look at the teams that are going to win the division this year, right? And it's so...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Flip-flopped.
Yep.
I mean, you have a year here. People have talked about it. You might not get Kansas City, Baltimore, or Cincinnati. You know, Baltimore's tracking where they probably have a better chance in Pittsburgh to get in. But, man, it's kind of wild that I think the 5, 6, or 7, I heard your discussion earlier. I liked it. We had the same discussion. I asked Matt Bove in a different way than you did to Bulldog Mike. I said, if I gave you the choice between at Houston, at Jacksonville, or at Indy, like, what would you choose? Or even Denver and New England we talked about, like, I don't know. Are you really that scared about any of them? Or Baltimore was one of them. My point, what I'm making though, is I think Houston would at this point be the team I wouldn't want to go to, where Baltimore doesn't seem right now, right? Where, yeah, that's a bad matchup for the Bills, but it's not like you're deathly afraid as much as you might have used to. And then the other ones are all, okay, I'll take my chances. I'll roll into Indy. I'll roll into Jacksonville. I'll go to Denver and Mile High if I have to. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? I'll go to New England.
I feel this is interesting to me because I'm usually so the other way. I just have no fear of the Ravens. And it's still 5 more games and maybe they just sort of get sharp.
That's what always, I'm kind of banking on when I say I don't want to play them.
There's always big injuries. There's always drama. Henry older. Jackson maybe a little bit broken. I don't know. They've proven when they're right to be kind of a playoff flop. And so okay. I think any of the story of the AFC might end up being like the AFC South. Because these are all teams that we tend to sleep on. Houston can look dangerous with that defense. I think Indianapolis is the weakest of the three, but they've also got the rushing leader, and there's a team there. And I don't know, Jacksonville, has upside, I think, Jacksonville. I mean, it's Jacksonville, though. But the,
I'll say this. I think, guys, that matchup-wise, I think Houston and Baltimore are tough for the Bills, right, for different reasons. Houston because of the way they play defense, Baltimore because of the way they play offense. Okay, I think matchup-wise. I agree with you, Mike, that I'm not saying I'm not afraid at all of Baltimore, but they just don't look like the same team. And the Bills showed that if they really want to shut down Derrick Henry, they can pretty much devote population and people to do that like they did in the playoffs last year and hope that the Ravens make mistakes. And they did that. So, again, I'm not saying the Bills will go there and win. But all the other teams we're talking about, if the Bills went to any of those teams in the playoffs, New England, Denver, Jacksonville, Indy, I think those teams still have to play like really kind of either flawless football on their end or hope the Bills give them the game. So the Bills are the better team. And I think, and that's what's hurt the Bills this year. The Bills played New England. I had this same discussion with a few media members today. We were talking about the Patriots. The Bills, the Patriots played the perfect game against the Bills. The Bills gave them the ball twice, and the Patriots still had to win the game on a late field goal at the end. Like, I think the Bills are still the better team than the Patriots. I know I'm sound crazy sitting here saying this, looking at the record. But the fact is, like, that's how that game went. They had to have a perfect game played and hope the Bills gave them mistakes, and that's what happened.
Yeah, they have. I mean, New England, they deserve credit. The quarterback is coming. I mean, he's the MVP maybe, right? It looks great. The coach has got a nice resume, and they've surprised everyone. They also have played maybe a historically easy schedule.
That's right.
The way it's all shaken out. I mean, yeah. So there is that. That's why next Sunday is so, I think, in focus. Not to look past the Bengals, but if you're right, and I'm inclined to agree with you, I think the Bills are the better team still, even though New England is in front of them like they are. But they got to prove it next Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, there's no getting around it.
And to all that talk about like how hard to push. If the Bills lose next Sunday, that's it.
The division's over.
There's three games after that, and it's all for jockeying wild cards spots that we may or may not even really care about, which would be sort of a bummer way to end the season. But they'd have even whatever happens against Cincinnati, they have to beat the Patriots to have a chance at first place. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, and the reason why the Bills are in this situation and the reason they lost to the Patriots because they've given the ball away this year. Then you can't do that. And they haven't taken away as much. So they could go to New England and still play a better game. But if they give the ball away, then New England's going to beat them. I mean, that's just because New England is, you know, playing that kind of football where they take advantage of those kinds of mistakes from you. And by the way, for everybody who has been asking for the last several weeks, we know now the game is not being flexed. It's 1 p.m. on Sunday, a week from Sunday in New England.
Well, since 1979 came up earlier, no matter how bad you do with turnovers, you'll never be as bad as the Super Bowl champion 1979 Steelers with their 52 turnovers. What did the Bills have last year? 6? My favorite football stat.
That's amazing.
Including the playoffs, they turned the ball over 60 times and are considered one of the all-time best teams. It might have been on purpose. 60 turnovers.
Oh my God.
79.
Because they wanted to play defense so badly because they had the steel curtain. That's the show, right? You go to the game. The show is the defense. Give the other team the ball, Terry.
Right. That's right. Just let's make it interesting here.
Amazing.
Like you're playing basketball against a little kid or something. You just sort of give him a couple layups.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guy. Thanks a lot.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
They took it away 48 times. What was going on in this sport then? I just can't process the turnover numbers from the late 70s.
Well.
Because there wasn't supposed to be any passing, right? There was
no, but that's the big part of it. I'll bet the interceptions are. I mean, fumbles,
26,
whatever. Right? The quarterbacks. I remember, you know, that era looking at the stats in the paper, and any guy who had even one more touchdown pass than interception was like, oh, that's pretty good. And I mean, like 20 would be 20 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. Okay, you got to take that.
Incredible.
It's just amazing. Right.
Didn't coaches – who's responsible for – we've got to start spreading the word turnovers are bad. We got to fix this. Who was responsible for that? It's not Chuck Knoll, apparently.
No, but that era is why I think probably, I don't know when, well, when you throw the ball, three things are going to happen, and two of them are bad. Like, I'll bet the 70s had a lot to do with that.
Must have. I can't take my eyes off the 79 stats. I will. 803-0550. Your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture? Bills and Bengals Sunday at 1. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. The Sabres are in Philadelphia pregame in just over an hour here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.